Today we're doing the communion versus authority face-to-face review. I believe this might be the last in this series, or might be one more as a summary. I don't know. I just work here. I was really amazed at how the Holy Ghost weaves things together as I was listening to Alan's message this morning, and how he was really teaching on the love of God, but how he brought prayer and petitional prayer and what is God really like. See, our God is the kind who goes after the lost, the rebellious ones. He leaves the 99 that are already in the fold, and he goes after the one that's out there. And he's not like religion paints him as being that friend behind the door that won't arise. I guess go to Luke 11. We'll start there again. You know, who comes to him at midnight and says, no, it's too late. My kids are in bed with me. I'm not going to get up and give you nothing. And so they make you think that the key to getting answered prayer is to keep knocking like the heathen. They make you think that you're heard for your much speaking. You got to just keep on. He doesn't really want to answer your prayer. You just got to wear him out. If you bug him enough and get him upset, then he might answer your prayer. And that's the way they interpret it, because that's the way they see God. But see, the way this really starts off, let's look at it again now, because what I said on the offering is not in the main service here. Chapter 11, it says, of Luke, it says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Now, why would they really be interested in having Jesus teach them pray? How to pray, how he prays. Well, you know, they'd go pray and have a certain level of results, maybe. They'd watch him go pray. He'd come out with power. I mean, things would happen that had never been seen on earth before. And they say, maybe, you know, we're comparing our results with your results. We think maybe you need to teach us how to pray. And notice how he starts it off. He begins to teach him, and he says, "When you pray, say, Our Father." He could have just stopped right there and had a conference, because they had no concept really of God as Father. But see, Jesus knows what he's coming to do, and on the other side of the cross, he is going to make it possible for his Father to become their Father. And he tells them, do you think he really did pray this way? Do you think he's teaching them something different than how he prayed? I don't think so. So he says, "Well, if you want to know how I pray, you can pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now notice what comes first. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth." See, and that's priority number one, getting us to the place where his kingdom is more important to us than our kingdom, where his agenda is more important to us than our agenda. But notice this, he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Do y'all ever realize Jesus prayed that way? We tend to think he didn't pray that way, but if he's telling them the truth and he's teaching them how to pray like he prays, then he would pray, "Father, give day by day, give me what I need. You are my provider." He trusted his Father. Of course, now Jesus didn't have to forgive his own sins, but he was telling them, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." And he sure did that on the cross. What did he say? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And right there, though, he stops, because, you know, you can pray, you know, like Alan said, the worst thing we ever did was put that on a plaque and make a formula out of it, hang it on the wall. You know, people pray that prayer all over the earth every day, and it doesn't get answered. And the reason it doesn't get answered is they see God like this friend, so-called friend behind the door. They think, well, he doesn't really love me. He doesn't really care about me. He won't answer it because I'm his friend. But if I wear him down enough, and if I keep asking and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking, maybe eventually he might give me what I need. And Jesus said, well, that very attitude is why your prayers aren't getting answered. See, prayer without faith is not really prayer. You're just speaking, might as well speak to a brick wall. He's not hearing it anyway. He's trying to convey to us who God is. See, when Jesus prayed, he expected his Father to answer. Did you get that? That's not going to happen without a real relationship with God. Formulas have their place, but what God is after is not a religion. God is after a relationship with you in a family. And notice he switches here after he tells that parable. He says, well, now, which of you has a friend like this? And I described that. As I was going through there one time, after praying a lot in other tongues, the Holy Spirit asked me the question, Gary, do you have a friend like that? Do you have any friends like that? And I got to thinking, my close friends, none of them would do that. If I really needed something, even if it was midnight, they may not like it. But even at midnight, if I came and I really needed something, they would get up and give it to me. I know they would, my friends. And then I got to thinking, even my acquaintances, you know, the people that live on my block, they know me by face. They know I'm not a robber. They know I live in the neighborhood. And if I needed something and knocked on their door, now they might not like it, but I think most of them even, just my acquaintance, not even really a friend. If I really needed it, they'd give it to me. I said, I don't even have any acquaintances like that. He says, you know, the whole world thinks God is like that. The whole world thinks he's that way, that he's reluctant. He doesn't want to answer your prayer. And only if you, like the heathen, if you just keep repeating it over and over and just keep on bugging him, eventually he'll give it to you just because you wear him out. That is not who our Father is. And notice he says here, when he starts really talking to us, in verse 9, he says, I say unto you, don't have that attitude about him. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. And notice he changes it from a friend now to family. If a son. See, he knows what's coming. He knows he's going to make it possible for his Father to become your Father. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? No. If he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Now notice how this is phrased. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In the early days, I used this verse all the time to help people get filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's okay to use it that way. But that's not really what he's talking about. What is the subject matter, church? Answered prayer, isn't it? Why does he say, why doesn't he just say, well, I'll just answer your prayer? He'll just answer your prayer. Well, he is saying that. He's going to give you the Holy Ghost. To do what? To manifest the answer to your prayer. See, I don't know if you realize it yet. I mean, you should at this church. You're not an orphan. When the 12 realized that Jesus was leaving planet Earth, he told them he was leaving. Their first question was the same question that you should ask. Can I go with you? Well, I don't care where you're going. If you're leaving the planet, can I go with you? Can we follow you? He says, no, you can't follow me now. You'll follow me later. Well, what are we going to do? We've been following you for 3.5 years. How are we supposed to follow you now if we can't leave the planet with you? You're going somewhere else. And he says, well, I'm going to send you another comforter. And he tells them all about it. We've taught at length about this. John 14, 15, 16, leading up to John 17. That other comforter, the paraclete, the helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. And it's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about. See, the one who answers, let's say it this way, not the one who answers, but the one who manifests the answer. You're walking with him every day, just as if you were walking side by side with Jesus. He is walking with you. Your answer is walking with you. The Holy Spirit is with you, whether you're aware of it or not. Like he told me in this face-to-face, but lack of awareness of his presence brings lack of faith. Well, we taught on that at length. Now, he was in this particular lesson, because this leads us up to communion with the Holy Ghost. And last Wednesday night, I had you look at the last verse of 2 Corinthians where Paul said that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the communion, the koinonia, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Well, he's the one that we're walking with on planet Earth. And as I did Dave's two-message series years ago called Distinguishing God's Voice, see, the Holy Spirit has not come to be your Lord. He's come to bring you the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's come to bring you His mind for your individual life. And as you pray a lot in the other tongues, you're going to develop the capacity to hear His voice. And He's going to start bringing you instruction. Now, since we're talking about answered prayer today in this communion, I want to show you how the communion of the Holy Ghost and answered prayer go like a hand in a glove. The more time you spend with Him, the more your petitions, can I say it that way, the more your prayers are going to line up with the mind of Christ. The more your petitions line up with the mind of Christ, the more answers you're going to see on planet Earth. Now, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me read you a little bit. I'm going to back up just a little bit from where we ended Wednesday night. And he's talking about primarily this transformation of our mind to think like the mind of Christ. Do you think that might be important? Yes, sir. All right, we'll start it off. I'm going to tell you the two lists again. Most of you know that Sue and I started at the prayer center in June of 1992. I didn't trust Dave any further than I could throw him. I've had well-meaning preachers before that didn't mean to hurt me but did. And so we were starting here, and he seemed like a nice fella. So did the last preacher that hurt me. And so, I mean, I just didn't dive in. You know, I mean, once you've been hurt, you know, you check it out. So, I mean, we checked out that message. I was long-haul trucking at the time. I was gone most of the time. So Sue would come to the services, get the tapes. I'd take them with me, and I'd listen to them and pray in the trucks. But I wasn't really praying in tongues so much yet. I was mainly checking out this message. I was listening. Then on the way back, I flew back, so I spent a lot of time in airports. During that season, I knew O'Hare almost better than my own house. I knew where the best pizza was. I knew where everything was. And same in Dallas and Atlanta, you know. But I had a lot of time in airports. And that's when I would get my Bible out and I would compare what David taught with the Bible. And I did that for about 6 months, you know. After about 6 months, I told Sue, I said, I can't find anything wrong with this message. Everything the man says is in context. It doesn't seem to be being twisted for his own agenda. It seems like it's true. So in December of 1992, that's when I really began praying in other tongues in the trucks. I turned off the radio, turned off the CB. I said, I'm stuck in the cab of this truck anywhere from 40 to 70 hours a week anyway. I'm just going to make it my prayer closet. And you've heard that story. Well, in those trucks, you wind up stopping at truck stops all the time. And I still remember this one little truck stop. I pulled in there one day and see, I'm also a faith man. Hallelujah. It's a good thing I'm a faith man. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And if we hadn't known the basics of faith, we never would have made it to, I wouldn't have ever made it to the prayer center because the devil tried to kill me with cancer in 1990 before we ever started here in 92. And had we not known the basic fundamentals of faith, I don't think I'd have survived that. Don't think I would have made it. They only gave me 6 months to live. Been a long 6 months. Thank God. But word of faith is true. But see, there's also such a thing as the leadership of the Spirit. There's also such a thing as mortification and edification, which I didn't know anything about yet. I was just starting on that journey. So anyway, in that condition, pretty young in my maturity level, but knowing the basic fundamentals of faith, I remember that little truck stop, and bless God, I was going to petition my God. I was going to make some petitions. Glory to God. You have not because you ask not. I found that verse. I didn't want to read the next one. You know, it says, or you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. I wasn't focusing on that one yet. It was, you have not because you ask not. So, and I remember my list. I can just see me sitting there. And the thing of it is now, even though what I'm about to describe to you is still about 99% flesh creature. Okay, because I'm just starting on this journey. But I know you have not because you ask not, so I'm making my petitions. Here we go. I mean, the most important thing on planet Earth in the entire universe. I mean, it's going to be the first thing on my list, right? I need a new Dodge Ram pickup. Not only that, I'm going to tell you what color. I want it red. I want this kind of cab. I want this kind of suspension. That was petition number one. Then after that came all the other natural things. Somewhere in there was, oh yes, for the love of God, make my wife obey me. I love you, baby. We're talking how it was, okay? And I had this list of about, and most of it was just natural things, you know? Just natural things. I'm just beginning this journey of praying in other tongues. Well, I continued. I really did. Now, one thing about me, I am a persistent cuss. And once I, or guy. So I did continue. And I had all the opportunities to quit, like you have all the opportunities to quit. But God had me in a job, really, where, you know, I was basically could get paid to pray. I mean, He just had me in the right job. So I prayed and I prayed and, anyway, I don't want to, I've given that testimony many times, okay. Well, sure enough, the Lord began answering, and He began communicating back with me. And this was something I didn't really have much in the Word of Faith movement. But I thank God still for the fundamentals of the Word of Faith. Thank God. But I began hearing back from the Lord, and He began. I remember one day I was just praying in other tongues, and I hadn't heard anything in quite a while, several hours. And I was going, what are you doing right now? All this praying, what's going on? What are you doing? Just as clear as you're hearing my voice right now, I heard Him say, I'm driving the money changers out of the temple. I went, what? I'm in a truck drive. What? What temple? Then some of those verses started coming back. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, I know what He's talking about. He's talking about greedy Gary. And He began opening up revelation knowledge out of that passage. But let me fast forward 6 or 7 months. I don't know, roughly 6 months later. And to be honest with you, you know how you really, man, you start off strong in faith on something, you're going to really confess this every day. Well, I did it for a little while, like most people do, on that first list. Then I forgot about it after a little while, maybe a month. So 6 months go by, and I'm in that same truck stop. It's just amazing how God does things. And I was going to write out a list of things that were on my heart. And I began making a list. I don't have it. It's been a long time since I looked at it, but I can tell you the flavor of the things that was on it. Sue's daddy needed to be saved. There was some other family members that needed to be saved. There were things in my life. Okay, I was smoking at the time. I was asking the Lord to help me deal with that. There were things like that. The list, I don't think it had a single pickup truck on it. And about the time I finished that list in the restaurant, He reminded me of the previous list. And I went, oh yeah, at the same table. Where is that list? And I started looking through my little briefcase that I carried with me all the time. And I found it. And I put them side by side. Pickup truck, make my wife obey me. We need more money. We need this. We need that. New list. Just 6 months praying in other tongues. This person needs to be saved. God, I need to quit smoking. I'm a preacher. This and that. You know, just somebody said, in just 6 months, the Holy Ghost made that much of a transformation in the priorities of my life. Don't tell me praying in tongues doesn't change a person. Don't tell me it doesn't cause mortification of the flesh and an edification, building in you the same desires that's in the mind of Christ. It conforms us to that same image, see? Well, then time later, as we continued to do this message, and I was doing what Dave teaches in that series, Distinguishing God's Voice, and the Holy Ghost began speaking back, and we've been reviewing that now with a 10-year perspective. So now, this is Him talking to me, and I'm coming near the end of this. Today, we're going to really focus on the communion part, and what I mean by that is the koinonia, the fellowship with the Holy Ghost. See, you're not an orphan. I don't care how you feel. Sometimes you sure feel like one. Gary, do you ever feel like an orphan? Almost daily. I have to work at it not to. If you don't spend time in the Word and in prayer, pretty soon you're going to feel like an orphan again. Because you're going to start just being led by... See, I wish I had a copy of the book right now. I did this in Ohio. I held it up. I said, what does it say? It's the walk of the Spirit. And that's talking about your reborn human spirit. But most of us are walking by our soul. Just tell it like it is. The part of you that's born of God is your spirit man. That's the part of you the Holy Spirit is maturing. That's the part of you He's really teaching. That's why He had to take the understanding away from your soul so He could communicate directly with that part of you that is born of God and teach you what God is like and teach you what has been freely given to you by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. These things are spiritually discerned. So He communicates primarily with your spirit, and that is why praying in other tongues is such a vital part of His method for New Testament believers to be transformed to the mind of Christ. It bypasses the intellect. Because it's ultimately, you are not a soul. Your soul is a tool of your spirit. See, I have a computer at home. It's a nice computer. It works good. It's supposed to help me. You know, they make science fiction movies about how the computers take over the world. That's really what has happened. The soul is supposed to be a computer to help your spirit, man. It's just a tool. You know, it receives input. Bus coming. Step out of way of bus. Okay, good. That's what it's for. To walk in this world, you need the five physical senses and the computer of your soul to help you with that kind of thing. But the soul is not supposed to run your life. So walk of the Spirit. Walk of the Spirit. That spirit man on the inside. That's the child of God you are. And He's nurturing that new nature. He's nurturing that person. That's why Paul says in Ephesians, we've been looking at so much, put on that new man. He's in there, but put him on the outside. Wear him like clothes. Get him where he can be seen. See, why don't we have any authority? I'm going to tell you again, like I said, Wednesday night. Well, you know that policeman? Aaron was a policeman for years. Probably weighed about as much as my left leg. Little bitty thing. Put on that uniform, go out there and stand right in the face of a big bus coming down the road or a big Mack truck. Hold that hand up. Halt in the name of Tulsa. There's no way she has power in 106 pounds, whatever she was, you know, to stop that bus. That bus is loaded with power and might. But she has something the bus doesn't have. She has authority. And how does the bus driver know she has that authority? She's got on her uniform. See, in that same passage in Ephesians where he says, put on that new man. The next chapter he says, now, put on the whole armor of God. That's our uniform. It's supposed to look like Jesus. Amen. What's happening with the church would be like, it'd be like the policeman trying to stop the bus out there without his clothes on. There's no authority there. I don't see any authority backing you up. I'm going right on through. You better get out of the way. And pretty much that's what the church has been, because we're walking by the soul and not by the spirit. We're trying to stop a bus standing out there in our skivvies. And basically, it's Paul I know, Dave I know, who are you? Jesus I know, Dave I know, who are you? See? That is changing. I'm telling you right now, revival is coming. Nothing that's happened has changed anything. Revival is coming. Tulsa is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Gary, can you see it? Depends on where I'm looking. What eyes I'm using. Yes, I see it. Can't you? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, the walk of the Spirit. We're walking with the Spirit. The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of your Father. He was talking with me and he was talking about being conformed to the image of Christ. So I'm just going to pick it up right here. I'm going to go relatively quick today now until we get to this one part. He said, "For this reason I have given you instruction to see the image of Christ in full measure within your hope. For this is it." Yes, sir. I'll back up one. Yes, sir. I see why. You know why a lot of our prayers aren't answered? Okay, I'll tell him why he said mine aren't. Probably doesn't apply to you. To me, he said, half-hearted hope and clouded vision has been the primary hindrance to more manifestations of my power through your faith, says the Spirit of Grace. Because of your lack of understanding of the necessity of godly hope and your almost total reliance upon the spoken word, I have only been able to manifest certain things that you have requested. There was not sufficient image within you for faith to give substance to. He's being real nice. He could just say, what you called hope, I call wishing. On those occasions where you have given me hope in full measure and the speaking of words that appropriate from that hope, I have freely manifested all things that you believed you received when you prayed. But where hope is not fully defined, faith cannot appropriate, no matter the volume of speaking. Alan, are you hearing this? Isn't this amazing? I see, I knew this was coming. I'm listening to you and I'm going, my Lord, the Lord doesn't weave these messages together. It's not because of the abundance of our speaking, see. You have to know who your Father is. He says, for this reason I have given you instruction to see the image of Christ in full measure within your hope. For this is an image which cannot be altered. Now the reason you need to know why he's saying that. A lot of people don't have the right image of Christ in their hoper. The reason that he can tell me that is I had done what he told me earlier. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the first four books that I assimilated. What do you mean by that? If you don't know what I mean by that, you need Dave's tape, the assimilation of God's Word. You read the book 30, 40, 50 times. If you don't know what a word means, go look it up. But the idea is to read it into you. Read it out loud, I found to be best if you can, but just read it. What you're doing is equipping yourself for day and night meditation. If you get that full book on the inside of you, and then if you get like all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then wonderful things began to happen. See, Alan could have used that as that's a perfect example of assimilation, what he taught this morning. That over there in Matthew 6, verse 7, where he says, don't be like the heathen who think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. Luke expands that over in Luke 11, that very parable about the guy behind the door that won't answer and thinks the only reason God will answer is if you keep on yelling at him. That's exactly what Matthew was recording. That is the fuller illustration of that verse. You get that by assimilation. One book will unlock a key in another book. Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, because I was raised like you were raised, probably, in some form of denomination. I was told all those same lies, and I didn't know they were lies. It's not always, lie number one, it's not always God's will to heal. All right, how about this one? Yeah, okay, well, maybe not that. It's always His will, but just the timing of the Lord. The timing of the Lord. It may just not be His will to heal you today. Or worse than that, well, He saw that you were, getting off into pride and whatever, so He put that cancer on you to put you flat on your back and teach you a few things. I had all of that in me, like most Christians have that in them, because that's what they've been taught from the pulpit. So He gave me an assignment. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first four books I want you to assimilate. And boy, I started. And then He gave me some other assignments as I was doing that. One of them was, now go through there and see if you can find one. Now, it's true. Jesus walked through a lot of cities and not everybody in that city got healed because they didn't come to His meetings. But it's also true, because I did my homework assignment, every single person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that came to Jesus for healing, every single one of them without fail got what they came for. And not only for themselves, one guy came for an employee, the centurion, for his servant. A mother came for her daughter, and she didn't even have a covenant with God, and she still got it. Now, that's an image in me now, see? That's why he says what he says. You've got an image of Christ in you now. that cannot be altered. You can preach it till your lips fall off, buddy, and I know the truth. You're not going to, Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I've already looked through Matthew. I've already assimilated Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're not going to find Jesus putting cancer on nobody. If he doesn't put it on them, God doesn't put it on them. You're not going to find Jesus bankrupting anybody's business. If he doesn't do it, God the Father doesn't do it. I've got an image of Christ on the inside of me that religion can't change anymore. That's why he says what he says. Okay, now, knowing that, I suggest Matthew, Mark. I recommend four books to you. You can buy them right after the service. You may already have them. They're called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Assimilate those four books. You will be amazed the image that will develop in your soul. It's a good one. Hallelujah. So he said, I have given you the instruction to see the image of Christ in full measure within your hope, for this is an image which cannot be altered. In your heart there is no doubt concerning the Father's will in regard to him. That's true. Your heart fully trusts that Christ is the will of the Father. Because that is so, develop your ability to erect hope in your soul by focusing upon the image of Christ as revealed in the Gospels and as revealed by the Spirit of God. As you learn to incorporate that image which cannot be altered, you will be more and more changed into that same image by the seed of Him who is planted in you and by the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. As that transformation process continues, your mind will be more and more conformed to His mind, and you will increasingly understand the will of the Father in all realms, not just those regarding things of the Spirit, but of things in the material realm as well. You will not be questioning what the Father's will is regarding the moving, the flow, and the transference of material things, but your hope shall become rock solid, set on bedrock, understanding the mind of Christ and the will of the Father for His sons. This understanding shall solidify your feet on the foundation of grace, and your hope shall abound beyond the limits that constrain it this day. Your increased understanding of the Father's will in these matters will cause your hope to be erected as a monument of solid stone, which cannot be moved by circumstances. Now get this line. If you don't get anything else, get this one. Hope must not be a thing made of vapors. Did you hear that? Hope must not be a thing made of vapors, nor be a flowing thing such as a liquid, but hope must be erected as a solid substance within you first, before faith can manifest that substance in the material realm. We could do a seminar right there. A seminar. I've taught you before how I thought I had people confessing the word and they still died. And I couldn't understand that. I told you about the one man that I schooled on purpose, a friend of mine. I knew him for a quarter of a century. In my presence, he wouldn't say anything other than what the Word of God says. He died of cancer anyway. At the funeral, it was an elaborate funeral. Bagpipes, military 21-gun salute. They played taps. They came and they folded the flag. I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful ceremony. I said to the wife afterwards, I said, wow, you really planned an elaborate funeral, a very nice funeral for him. She said, oh, I didn't plan that at all. He arranged for all of that before he died. What was his hope full of? What was in his mind? Where was he seeing himself? In a casket. And I began to get inklings of what he's talking about here. That's why now I may get a little rough with you, you know. What did you used to do? What did you used to like to do before you got sick? Well, I like to go water skiing. You going water skiing again? Well, I sure hope so. Okay. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. No, the correct answer is yes. And mean it. I am coming off of this bed. I am going water skiing again. Or snow skiing or whatever it is that you do. That's when hope has become, it's not a vapor anymore. It's not a wish list anymore. That's in me now, you will see on the outside. But it's real in me first. It's a solid substance in me. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You build the image first on the inside, then you, faith will bring it to the outside. Hallelujah. Elbow your neighbor. Too quiet in here. Wake up. This is say the good part starting now. Okay. He said, the things that have prevented you from understanding the Father's mind are still those things. I love the way he used this word. Those dregs of religion that remain at the bottom of your vessel. But be of good cheer. For each day that you spend with me, I am scooping out those dregs and washing away even the stain of them from your soul. Did you hear that? You know, you may have come a long way. I think about Dave, you know, I'm so glad he's honest enough to share with us those early days when he went to the ultra, ultra, ultra holiness. And he'd say, I'll tell you one thing, if God ever gives me a church, won't no women wear no pants to my church. Now, let me look around the room here. There was one skirt, okay. Two. Pants are in the vast majority. Well, the Holy Spirit has been in the process of scooping out the religion. And if you spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, he's going to do the same with you, see. And I think he's brought Dave a fair way down the path. Amen. Sue's going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But see, in all of us, there's still some dregs. There's still some stain maybe around the edges. And he's still in the process of removing that. So he says here, be of good cheer for each day that you spend with me. Now, what was he talking about at the time? Praying in other tongues. Each day you spend with me, I'm scooping out those dregs and washing away even the stain of them from your soul. As you continue to spend time with me, I am transforming your mind to conform with the very mind of Christ, who is free from all such dregs. Now get it straight. There is no religion in the mind of Christ. He's not formula minded. There is no religion in him. He loves you. Even your soul shall become a vessel purified with the very mind of Christ, and even the suggestion of thoughts of religion shall be things to be abhorred, and you'll instantly reject them. For you shall know him whom the Father has sent, and by him you shall know the Father who sent him. This is eternal life. And you shall walk in more and more of this life, not just in this lifetime, but for all eternity, says the Spirit of grace. Now, I was listening to Alan this morning, a friend I was talking with yesterday. And even as I was listening to Alan and talking with a friend yesterday, I knew I was going to be reading this passage today. Now, elbow him again and say, really, this is the good part. He said, for this season, learn to simply ask of me. Now, who's talking? Holy Ghost. He said, learn to ask of me before you make your petitions. And here's the question I'm supposed to ask him. Before I ask the Father, I'm supposed to ask the Holy Ghost. Is this request I'm about to make here, is this according to the mind of Christ or not? Then get this. He says, you and I will discuss them before you make the petitions. And at times I'll say, alter this, change that, increase this, decrease that. And I will reveal to you the timing of certain things that must needs be. I am your counselor. I will prepare you. I will help you prepare your petitions ahead of time. This will eliminate much wavering in your hope. This will cause each petition you make to the Father to be made upon the foundation of hope that is rock solid, like an image in you that cannot be moved. No longer upon the wavering shores of sand upon which you've tried to live by faith in the past. Just simply ask, son. I'll tell you the truth. It's not the Father's will that you be without his counsel regarding every petition. Are you listening to this? He sees your heart, son. He knows. He knows your desire is to please him. And yes, review with me those petitions that you now have standing before the throne. Together we will adjust them. We will revise them. Does this sound like a helper? We will revise them that you may resubmit them. This time, when they are submitted, they will be submitted in such a manner that your hope will stand full stature within your soul, so that faith may take from that solid substance and manifest them in the earth. This is the delivery system from your provider. I want to give you some examples of that. This was early on. We were just starting. This was 98. We'd only had our 501c3 starting late in 96. We'd just barely started traveling. We'd been to LaRouche Church. We'd been to Immokalee once. We hadn't been very many places. We were just early. Okay. Well, I was making my petition, and in those early days, I'll just tell you now, we didn't have tape duplicators, we didn't have an office, we didn't have nothing. The entire equipment for the ministry was one of those old boom boxes that had a dual cassette well. You remember those? You put in the original, and the other one says, laughingly, high-speed duplicator. And what that really means is it would record twice as fast as the tape. So if you had a 90-minute tape, you could make a copy in 45 minutes, but you had to be there to turn the tape over. That's how the ministry began. See, he asked you to use what you have. Start where you are. Well, so we started. Well, the ministry started growing. We had trouble keeping up with that. So the Lord spoke to Tim, and Tim came and told me, he says, now, we have duplicators. We've got excess time. We're going to help you in the beginning. We're going to duplicate these for you. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. So they duplicate them for us, and at first, it wasn't a big burden, but the ministry grew. I come up here one day. There was Gary Carpenter tapes and boxes and tubs all over everywhere up there. I mean, it's getting to be a big thing. Well, but I wasn't hearing anything different from the Lord yet. One day I'm praying, and as I'm going through my prayer list, I have petitions. I do understand about making petitions. You have not because you ask not. And one of the things that I always say in there is, Lord, I thank you that Gary Carpenter Ministries has a minimum of a certain amount of dollars every month. Now, remember, he says, I'm going to help you with your petitions. I was about to make that confession, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, increase that amount by $4,000 a month. I like to do this. I go, how many of y'all would like it if the Holy Ghost told you to increase your monthly income, your petition, by $4,000 a month? You know? See, y'all have heard this story before. You're not raising your hand. In the beginning, they all go, yeah, $4,000 a month. You know? Then I say, well, how many of you would still like it if not one penny of that was for you personally? See, and I didn't really understand what he had in mind at that point, but he's helping me with my petition. You need to increase that. He's counseling me. The Holy Ghost has come, my counselor. You need to increase that by $4,000 a month. So I just wrote an X through it on the paper. Increased it by 4,000, began to confess that. I shared it with Sue when I got home. She changed her confession, so we're both saying the same thing. Nothing really changed the rest of that month or the following month, if I remember correctly. But that next month, man, just without doing anything special, we didn't send out any letters or anything. You can just plot it on a graph. Now, not exactly like to the dollar, but the average went up by roughly $4,000 a month. Well, what was the purpose of that? Well, I didn't know that at that time he was going to... He started speaking to us, and it's time now for the prayer center to quit doing all this duplicating. You need to start paying your own way. Start purchasing duplicators and hiring employees and start, get a postage machine and start doing everything that they've been doing. You need to start doing that. And in just a short amount of time, would you all like to guess how much a month that cost? About $4,000 a month. Now, here's the Holy Spirit come to help you with your petitions. Now, understand this. In the early days when Sue and I were just starting out and we were just little children, y'all saw how in the offering part, for benefit of the tape, while I was doing the offering, our youngest granddaughter started yelling, Papa. Well, Papa couldn't ignore that voice. Papa had to go get baby and carry baby around, you know. See, that's the way our Father is with us. Sue and I can tell you about those early days. We had, before praying in other tongues, before the mortification and edification. I remember one time we asked God for a van. And we were very specific. We want a Chevy van. We want it to have windows all the way around. We want it to be two-tone brown. We want it to be the Beauville model. We want front and rear. No, we want air conditioning in it. And we wanted it to be under a certain amount of miles. We weren't believing for a new one, but we wanted one with... And we would stand there and look at the empty space in our driveway. Say, isn't that a beautiful van? We was doing everything we knew to do. You know, and that's a pretty carnal thing. I mean, you know, just a van. Do you know God sent us that van to the specifications of our order? It was a Beauville, Chevy, windows, two-tone brown, even the miles. It was 2,000 miles less on it than what we were saying. Praise God. He didn't mind doing that at all. See, at Lily's age right now, I don't mind giving her candy. I don't mind giving her anything she wants, you know. I want her to be happy, and I think it's fine. I think it's wonderful. You know, I don't even really mind changing the diapers. Not too much. And it's fine. Do you know I don't want to be changing them when she's 35? I expect her petitions to change. I expect everything to change in our relationship. That's really what we're talking about here. He'll help you with your petitions. But I see what happens as you start growing up. I remember that day I saw those two lists. Part of me got really condemned. I was going, God, I cannot believe I was so carnal. I can't believe. Part of you goes, you start feeling guilty and, God, am I just a little child? I've almost used you like a big vending machine in the sky, you know. I did that a lot with all the other prosperity things too. And you'll get condemned. Yes, sir. I'll finish. I'm finishing with this. Okay, nudge your neighbor. Say he's finishing now. You can make it a few more minutes. He's finishing. I'm going to say this correctly now. Si, caramba, sonoke, sondalebrato, sike. Kite anduste lebrato mandore, shikari anduste mako shalaka, sette di frette bistos. Shanda, boy, it's been a while since he's done this with me. Kite andu. Shondela likras sondelebrato mando frato ma. So for in the days to come, I must have your faith. For the things that I will do, I cannot manifest without my body. I need you to grow up. I need maturity. I need your petitions. I need your faith. Be not discouraged. Know that the enemy is launching his finest because he sees his time is short. Be not discouraged. Be strong, says the Lord. Yield even more to my spirit, and let me finish the shaping and the molding. You are the clay in the potter's hand, and the vessel I'm preparing, the whole world will see, and it will resemble Jesus. They will see him through his body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think he wants us to pray. I think he wants us to fast and not be discouraged. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this story, and I think that's enough for today. I myself went through such a period of condemnation here recently. And I say, what were you so condemned about? None yet. I'm not asking you. And it's not important what it was. It could be a thousand things with different people. But I'll just be honest with you. I felt like that proverbial sheep-eating dog. The devil had about convinced me again. You truly are a slimy dog worm. And I was so condemned. I hadn't made a petition, a real petition towards God, in I don't know how long. Because I didn't feel worthy. I just felt terrible. To show you the heart of the Father now. One of my daughters called me. Her husband had dropped and broken his cell phone, a little flip phone. And see, I have good intentions. I want to recycle and everything, you know. So when we get new phones, new cell phones, we put them, the old ones and the chargers in a bag. And I fully intend to take them and recycle them like everybody else. And the bag never goes. It's in the garage somewhere. And I remembered what the little bag was. We had maybe four or five old phones in there and probably four or five old chargers. Just a little old brown bag, small little bag, crumpled up, you know. Last time I saw it was in the garage. Well, she called me, "Daddy, do you still have those phones?" Now, it's just a small matter. I mean, if they has to go buy another one, you know, those little cheap phones, or you can get them for $29, $39 or not very much. But she said, "Boy, sure it would be nice if you had one of those phones. We could just take the SIM card over and use it." And I'm going, "I know that it's in the garage. Have you seen my garage?" Our garage is not neat and orderly like some that I've seen. Ours is, well, it's just not a pretty sight. I go out there and I look. We got boxes on top of boxes and with sacks on top of that covered by mattresses and boxes. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff out there. And I'm looking, this is a hopeless task, you know. So I start looking through and where I think it might be, and I can't find this little sack of... I'm just trying to find this little sack of phones. Is this an earth-shattering consequence? You know, but I'm doing it all in my own... I mean, it's not of major importance. Nations do not depend on Tommy getting this flip phone. You do understand. But my daughter wants it, and I know I have it. I know that it's there. I'm looking through it, stuff. I can't find it. I mean, it's... You just... If you haven't seen the garage, it's a hopeless task. And then the thought occurred to me, maybe I should ask God to help me. See, what was that I taught? Oh, the Holy Spirit is with me. He who knows everything is right here. And I felt so guilty. It had been a while. I felt really guilty. But for Amanda's sake, you know, you kind of convince him why he should answer your prayer. Well, it's for Amanda. I said, "Father, I haven't asked you for a long time. Here I'm believing him for revival, you know." I have trouble believing him for a cell phone. I don't know why you guys listen to me. Anyway, I said, "Father, I really hate to ask this. I don't feel worthy. I've been a mess. Father, would you help me? I know you know where this is. I know your spirit's here. Father, would you help me find this cell phone?" I was hoping again for a brush of angel wing across my cheek, you know. There was nothing like that. But I no more said the amen. My eyes just fell on this one box. As a big box, great big old cardboard box. On top of it were like plastic tubs. On top of that were pillows and some kind of cases. But my eye fell on this box. I just started unpiling all the stuff off of it. Open up that box. Start moving. I still don't see it. Start moving stuff. Right in the bottom, right in the corner, is that crumpled sack of cell phones. Right there. We just went right to it. Then I felt worse than before I prayed. I said, "God, if you're going to be this good to me..." Y'all do know the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. I'll tell you exactly what I said. "God, if you're just going to continue being this good to me, I'm going to have to do better." Do better at what? It's Nunya. I told you it's Nunya. But if that's him. And you're not going to change him. And he's going to have your best interest at heart the next time you talk to him. Or even when you don't talk to him. And he's going to help you when you ask him. And he's not like that guy behind the door that won't help you. He's the one there waiting to help you. He says, "Ask. Ask. I'm the God who's more than enough. You don't even know what I have stored up for you. Ask and you'll receive." Our God is a good God. And more than that, our God is a good Father. He loves you. He loves you. If you haven't made any petitions to God in a while, you've got a Holy Ghost that'll help you. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what'll eventually happen. I think about Stephen, his final petition. See, what happens is it moves from things. What was his final petition? The men that are stoning him to death, including Saul. What was his petition? "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And boy, did the Father answer that one. He used that prayer to go after Saul, who became Paul, who now Stephen, everything that Paul accomplished, not only in his lifetime, but during these 2,000 years of those letters, all of that's on Stephen's account, as well as Paul's. Isn't that something? Our petitions change as we become transformed to the image of Christ, but we have a helper. Learn to talk with Him. He'll help you with your petitions. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Father. We praise you and glorify you and magnify you.